May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we get the second part of John the Baptist. Last week we got the first part of John the Baptist, of who he was. And this second part is very interesting because over and over it says, John the Baptist is giving good news. Now, I don't know if you read it like me, but there's not much good news in it. There's lots of demands, a lot of things you should do, and we as Lutherans kind of cringe at this should, that we like to hear that God does these great things for us, and then we have the ability to. And what do we see? They over and over say John the Baptist is attracting people, that people are running to him, they are listening to him, and to be honest with you, it makes me sit there and think about, it's kind of like that guy you see on TV and you are mesmerized by the preacher, right? You're sitting there and saying, I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying, but I just can't turn the channel. Does that ever happen to you? You just sit there, and it must happen to a lot of people because you sit there and are listening to the preacher, and not only are you stuck on this channel, but there's a lot of people listening to him wherever he's at. But John the Baptist is unique because for many of us, we would sit there and say, John the Baptist is laying down the law. He's saying, this is what you must do. But in reality, John the Baptist is also sharing the gospel. And the gospel, according to Luther, but also into Christianity, is something of grace and mercy and love. It's something that we cannot earn, but it's something that we receive. But what John the Baptist is doing is showing us the difference between what the church and being a Christian is and what society says. What does society say? Society says that what you must do is change to be exactly like us, or you're not accepted. So in order to be accepted, you must follow into this exact place where we expect you. You must have these beliefs. You must do exactly as we tell you to do. And if not, you're not welcome in our group. So you must be what we want to begin with, and then you can be welcomed. What does God say? God, on the other hand, says, come as you are. Come where you are at, in your troubled state, in your depressed state, in your struggling state. And that's where you need to be. And then, guess what? I'll do something about it. That's the beauty of it. Is so many people sit there and say, well, I'm not good enough for God. And God says, hey, it's not about you being good enough. It's about you coming. Come to me. Now, obviously, people of all different stripes and variations were coming to John the Baptist. They were looking for something. They were looking for what they called a Messiah. They were looking for good news. They wanted to be told, how do I gain the love of God? What does John say? Repent and be baptized and be washed away. They ask him then, so what do we do now that we're baptized and have been repented? And he gives a whole list of things. He says to those who have two tunics, give one away. He says to those who have, share. He says to the soldier, do not take advantage of your might. And to the tax collector, do not take advantage of your position. He lets people know that there is expectations of this new life. And then they follow along with him. They're ready to call him a Messiah. And what happens? John the Baptist says, no, 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 no. You see, I am only a prophet. I'm here to tell you how one can become closer to God. And how you become closer to God is recognizing the real Messiah. And he says, the Messiah is coming to me. But guess what? He does not come in water. He comes bringing the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to just change you on the outside. No longer are you just going to want to follow the rules and the laws of God. No longer will you want to be just caring about the Ten Commandments. But you'll change your heart. Because the Holy Spirit will transform you from the inside and will make you want to do these things. Instead of feeling like you ought to give or you ought to not take advantage, guess what? You will desire good for others. Your life will be transformed. But you do this not before you come to me, that you are changed by the Messiah. This is the good news, that you don't have to be there yet. It is Christ who's going to change you to where you get to go. And he says, interesting enough, what does the Messiah do? The Messiah in Judaism was there to rid people of, they thought, the king. But what does he say he's going to rid them? Of the things that get in the way of producing fruit. He likens Jesus to the farmer who has brought in the wheat. And guess what? He sifts out the chaff from the wheat. He takes what's bad and throws it away in order that the wheat might be used to its fullest. What we in the Lutheran faith call this is sanctification. We believe that we are never there yet until death, but that it is something that we strive to be once we recognize Christ. You see, this is a part of the church. I believe that John the Baptist is saying, hey, we're gathering together, guess what? We are of all different stripes and groups. We have different thoughts and so forth. And you know, the only thing that can compare to the church is family. Why? Because as we've got through Thanksgiving and look forward to the Christmas holidays, what is it? We gather together with family. Some of them we're excited to see, and other ones, well, we could wait again until next year. But guess what? We come together, and the reality is hopefully your family is like mine. I might trade my sister for maybe a couple dogs or something else that is more exciting, but if I need them, they're there. That my family, we might not agree on much, but what we do agree on is that we love each other, even beyond their faults. And that I want my sisters to be successful. I want them to be successful at whatever they're doing. And I, as their brother, will try to do that. I might give them more advice than they want to know, but I'll help them in many, many ways. That's how the church is. That Jesus uses the church to be a place where we love and care for each other, where we're accepting people, not as they come in, but we accept them exactly who they are. That's why we're different. That's why sometimes we might disagree. But the good news is, guess what? Our focus is on Jesus. And when we're focused on Jesus, we are much more successful. When we're focused on Jesus, what does he do? He sifts us. He gets rid of the chaff that gets in our way of being as successful as we can and makes us lights to the world. The good news that John brings, which is really good news, is not that we have to give up things, not that our life has to change, not that we have a lot of things wrong with us. But instead, the good news is that when we see Christ, when we come into his presence, we will want to be closer to God. We will want to share in giving what God has given to us. We will want to look out for the best interest of our brothers and sisters. We will want to do what John has called us. And in that, we become God's family, united around God, because we see him for who he is. That is John's message. That's the message of Advent. That's the message we cling to. Amen.